Coming up, a candidate forum for Cheyenne Mountain School District 12 on making democracy work.
This is a Studio 809 podcast. Engage.
Welcome to Making Democracy Work. I'm your host, Shelley Roars, spokesperson for the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak Region. Thank you for listening to Making Democracy Work and taking the time to learn more about being an active and engaged citizen. A big portion of our mission is voter education, and election forums are an integral part. We are in the middle of the fall 2025 election cycle, and we are sharing recorded versions of each candidate forum here on our podcast, Making Democracy Work. We hope you enjoy. Thank you for listening. Let's get to it.
This forum is presented by the students of the Cheyenne Mountain High School U.S. Government and Politics class and the League of Women Voters. I am your host, Holly Murphy, with the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak Region and the parent of a kindergartner in the district. The League of Women Voters is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, meaning we never endorse, support, or oppose candidates or political parties. Our mission is empowering voters and defending democracy. Joining me are Vivian Dees and James Cole with the Cheyenne Mountain High School U.S. Government and Politics class, who will be moderating the forum this evening. So let's get to it.
My name is Vivian Dees, and I am a student in the Cheyenne Mountain U.S. Government and Politics class. AP U.S. Government and Politics is an introductory college-level course designed to deepen students' understandings of the intricacies of American government and political systems. Through the analysis of both data and text-based sources, students engage with a variety of essential topics, including constitutionalism, political beliefs and behaviors, political parties, interest groups, political institutions, public policy, as well as civil rights and civil liberties. The course also emphasizes experiential learning, featuring immersive activities such as mock Congress, moot court sessions, and simulated congressional hearings. Additionally, it offers students valuable opportunities for civic engagement, including voter registration drives and outreach to elected officials.
My name is James Cole, and I'm also in the AP Government and Politics class. And these are our candidates today: Dr. Jessica Lehman, Mrs. Kara Mihal, Miss Jenna Blanter, and Lieutenant Colonel David Schultz.
All right, we will start with candidate opening statements. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for opening statements. The order was drawn at random, and we will start with Mr. Schultz.
All right, well, thank you guys for being here, and thank you for the League of Women Voters and the government class. My family and I are new here. As a District 12 parent, I wondered, like, how am I going to get my voice out there? How are we going to make a network? So I really thank you guys for doing this, because this is serving me as a new candidate, and I don't know very many of you. Service, it's in my DNA. I've been serving since I was 17, my country, I was raised by my stepfather, who taught me to leave things better than how you found them. And, you know, I'm already sitting on boards where I'm modernizing and taking education that is tech-driven, and that's taking robotics and using robots to build the next generation of leaders. And so for me, this is a call to action to do this in my own community. I've got two little ones that are just starting here. One just started kinder, the other one's in pre-K. And so I'm here for them. This is not about me. And quite frankly, it's not about many of you in here. It's about your kids and about the future of this community. And so that's why I'm here. I promise you, I have zero political agenda. I'm self-funding. And I just want the best for this community. So again, thank you guys for being here, and those that are tuned in on live streaming.
Mrs. Mihal.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Kara Mihal, and I've been a proud resident of District 12 for nearly 20 years. I earned my undergraduate degree in speech and language pathology, followed by a graduate degree in occupational therapy. I've had the opportunity to work in a variety of settings across the country, which has allowed me to develop a wide range of skills, from collaboration and problem solving to communication and leadership. My husband and I were fortunate to make Colorado Springs our home, and we specifically chose this district for its excellent schools. I have four children, two recent graduates of Cheyenne Mountain High School, and twins in seventh grade at the junior high. I've had a long connection to the district through volunteerism, beginning 16 years ago at Cheyenne Mountain Elementary. I've held a variety of PTO committee chair positions, including several years as president at both Cheyenne Mountain Elementary and of the high school. I spent 5 years as the School Accountability and Accreditation Committee Chair for CME, also serving as a committee member of the District Accountability and Accreditation Committee. For several years, I've been a board member of the Tradition of Excellence Foundation, which is the nonprofit that raises meaningful funds that are granted back to our district schools. I've dedicated countless hours to supporting and giving back to our district, and I'm running because I believe that school boards matter and that we need continued principled leadership to keep our district focused on providing exceptional opportunities for all students. Thank you.
Ms. Blanter?
Thank you very much for this forum. My mother and I escaped USSR, a totalitarian country without regards to human rights or freedoms. Since June 30th, 1976, my life has been a testament of the opportunities this blessed country has to offer. My hard work had something to do with that as well. I'm running for Cheyenne Mountain District 12 School Board to ensure that every child in our community receives the kind of education that reflects the American promise of the land of limitless opportunities for everyone and the land of the free, free to pursue the future of their own making, but which requires sound foundation in basic knowledge of reading, writing, math, and sciences. My qualifications are I'm an MBA, Bachelor of Accounting and Finance from University of Houston, and I have a Colorado CPA license. I've been a commercial banker, CFO of a publicly traded corporation, and currently serve on the board of directors of a $100 million private corporation. I have raised a wonderful daughter, 2009 Cheyenne Mountain High School graduate, and I now proudly call her a military wife with two grandsons in Fairbanks, Alaska. I've been committed to the community ever since I've made Colorado Springs my home in 2003. I have served for 10 years on the Utility Policy Advisory Committee of Colorado Springs Utilities. Currently, I serve on the Audit Committee of City of Colorado Springs and also on the El Paso County Parks Board. I am running to make sure the educational excellence which defines this district is continued and limited financial resources are effectively managed towards achieving that goal.
Dr. Lehman.
Hi, my name is Jessica Lehman, and I'd like to begin with a thank you to the League of Women Voters and to the students of Cheyenne Mountain High School for your efforts to create a safe space for this panel discussion. I am a product of K-12 public schools. I earned athletic and academic scholarships for my undergraduate education, completing my BA in English in 1995. I went on to earn my doctorate in physical therapy in 2004 and have been practicing physical therapy for 21 years. I've owned private practices for over 14 years, and I'm an associate professor at the CU School of Medicine. For the past 13 years, my husband and I have benefited from the support and education that Cheyenne Mountain School District has provided to our two children. Having been involved in Cheyenne Mountain School District for 13 years, I've witnessed the extraordinary educators, administrators, and staff as they go above and beyond for our students every day. For the past 10 years, I've been on DAC, which is the District Accountability and Accreditation Committee, alongside district leadership. We look at the school performance frameworks from every school and district, as well as the district performance framework. This data is from the state level based upon our testing. We dive into the data with leadership to look for areas that need attention and also figure out what is working well. I currently serve as the vice chair on DAC. In this role, I design, run, and report on the parent survey. Being at this table has provided me with a unique perspective on our strengths and weaknesses as a district. As an advocate for public education, a business owner and a parent of a Cheyenne Mountain graduate, as well as a current student, I believe I'm uniquely suited to serve on the Cheyenne Mountain School District Board of Education with our core values in mind. We believe people come first, and educational excellence is the goal. We believe tradition fuels innovation, and that safety is foundational.
Now we will move on to a few student questions. What is your stance on Proposition LL and MM to retain and spend state revenue exceeding the estimate for Proposition FF and to increase state taxes for school meals and food assistance programs? You will have 1 minute to answer this question, and we will start with Mrs. Mihal.
Hi, okay, that one's a little out of left field. I'm gonna say a couple things first, that I'm a lot like Mr. Schulz over here, where to me being on the school board is not political. At least that's where I come from. I think that as a member of the school board, our job is to follow the law. That is either state law or federal law. I don't give personal opinions, political opinions about really anything, because I think that there's value in listening to what others have to say. So while I think that's a really great question, I believe that my concerns are more funding towards our particular students and their education. So I'm not really going to answer that with the best answer in the world, but I will say that I'm just not here to make anything political. I'm running, as we all should be, as nonpartisan. So thank you.
Ms. Blanter.
Propositions LL and MM are an effort to subvert a Tabor Taxpayer Bill of Rights amendment that was passed a while back, and that also addresses an issue of fairness. Why would we segregate people by income level and not celebrate their success and punish them for their success, no matter how noble the goal is? And I think the fairness of taking care of the children who need that is critical, but not all children need that, and therefore it's not fair to tax people to provide lunches and meals for children whose parents can't afford to do those meals.
Dr. Lehman.
Thank you for the question. I think that although this is nonpartisan, and on the school board, I think the important thing to think about is what's best for kids. I mean, ultimately, that's why we're here. So many kids don't have privilege, and we have to think about them at the end of the day. So many of the Tabor is very complicated. So sometimes we've already actually allocated that money, and it's a matter of if we take it back or not. So although I may not answer directly, I would say that as a school board member, I want to make sure that all children have the solid foundations they need in order to get through the very, very long school day. So in general, I would like for them to make sure they have food security. Food insecurity is not helpful when we're talking about being able to concentrate all day at school. So I think that is foundational, and I think it's critical.
Mr. Schulz.
Thanks. So LL that's money that's already been collected, and it only affects households that are making more than $300,000. And so one point of clarification I want to make for both LL and MM is that low-income families, this doesn't affect them. They will still get free lunches, okay? And as somebody that received free lunches when I grew up, I mean, you know, that really helped out my family. And so this does not affect low-income families, okay? So we're talking 300K or above. For LL, I would vote yes, because the money's already been taken. And so that money is already in the state that's going to be just a bureaucracy to get that money back. And if you're making that kind of cash, that's a cost of doing business. Going forward, though, MM, I would vote no to raise taxes. That would raise $300K and above $486 a year. I would vote no, because I've worked for the big bureaucracies of our nation, and big government is not the best spenders of our money. And so I would vote no. And chances are those families are already making healthy lunches for their kids. Thank you.
Federal directives have recently demanded an end to diversity and equity programs. What are your views on the role of diversity and equity efforts in our school district? You have 1 minute to answer this question, and we will start with Ms. Blanter.
I believe that our school district should treat all children fairly. I believe our school district should make sure that every child gets help, whatever help the child needs. And I believe that our children have to get the best education that we can provide them, because that's their start in life. That is how they will go forth and become effective citizens. And every child deserves to be treated fairly and equally.
Dr. Lehman?
Student achievement is at the heart of what we do. Test scores, graduation readiness, and classroom support drive our work on the board. Part of creating strong learners, though, is making sure students feel safe and respected, because kids can't focus on academics if they don't feel supported. With that in mind, on a school board, you follow state and federal law. At the end of the day, that is what we have to focus on. So in any way we can support our children while following the law, that is what we will need to do on the school board.
Mr. Schultz?
Yeah, so diversity and equity inclusion, or efforts, sorry, in the district. You know, serving my country reminded me that we were protecting the First Amendment for everybody, even if I didn't agree with it. That's what we were doing, right? And so having said that, there's a certain values that I'm raising my kids with, but we're also raising them to know the golden rule, which is something that I think we're getting away from. And so in the end, I think what the district should be focused on is to create an environment where every kid can thrive, right? Where it's not a distraction, but every kid can have the same opportunity to thrive.
Mrs. Mihal?
Equity doesn't mean giving everyone the same thing. It means making sure that every student has what they need to succeed. And I want to ensure that all students, regardless of background, have the same access to opportunities, whether that's advanced coursework, whether that's enrichment programs, or academic support. I've spent years volunteering in our schools, and I've seen how different needs show up in different ways. Listening to teachers and to families and students help us identify gaps and remove those barriers. It's about creating an environment where children feel seen, supported, and capable of reaching their full potential. I know we have a lot of systems in the schools now. One of them is the MTSS, which is the multi-tiered system of support, where we are able to identify, our professionals are able to identify children that have a variety of different kinds of needs, and that system of support allows those needs to be met. So I think we're on the right track. We just need to keep doing what we're doing.
Mental health has been a large concern for parents and students alike. What is your approach to support mental health in D12 schools? You will have 1 minute to answer this question, and we will start with Dr. Lehman.
Can you repeat the last part of the question, please?
What is your approach to support mental health in D12 schools?
Great. Mental health is foundational for our students. So working closely with the school psychs, social workers, making sure that things are in place for response. We have a lot of advantages in our district already with our safety and security team supporting our students. So I think the communication needs to continue. What I think is a lot of parents actually don't know what's available to our students. So I think I would improve the communication to our parents so they understand what is available to their students and how they actually are supported throughout the day. Mindfulness is a great class here. I'm not sure if everyone's heard of it, but my son in college is still using techniques from that class. So I appreciate we have it here. I think it's a great focus for Cheyenne Mountain.
Mr. Schultz.
Okay. So mental health is something very near and dear to my heart. Unfortunately, suicide rate among soldiers is very high. And so it's a topic, and I've lost some very dear friends. But I think we're talking about a different mental health when it comes to kids. And I think some of this is because of technology, unfortunately, and the social media and what's accessible to them at the age that they're at. You know, I did look at the D12 resources, and there's very little in there that is resources where parents can go to and grab and, you know, educate them. I think you guys know that teenage girl suicide is high. And so, and I think gaming, there's some data out there that gaming also leads to some mental health issues. And so this is one area where I, as a school board, would fully support and ensure that all our kids had access to it, but not just access for kids, but empower parents on how to deal with some of the issues that their kids are going to have.
Mrs. Mihal.
Mental health is one of my district priority issues that I am pretty passionate about. I think mental health and wellness, like Dr. Lehman mentioned earlier, absolutely essential to student success. Over the past few years, I've seen firsthand how much our students carry academically, socially, and emotionally. I'm proud to say that our district has made progress in expanding counseling and support, but we need to keep building on that. I believe in meeting students where they are in early intervention, making sure that every child knows that there is someone in their corner, whether that's through school counselors, classroom teachers trained to recognize needs, or partnerships. We need a layered approach that supports the whole child, not just the academic side. Our district has done a lot in addition to expanding counseling and support. We also added panorama surveys that are given twice a year to grades 3 through 12. The purpose of those surveys is to focus on student self-assessment of their regulations, management, and self-efficacy skills. And then we use that data to provide insight into student experiences and how we can improve. So we're on the right track. We just need to keep going.
Ms. Blanter.
Mental health is critical to the success of the children that eventually will become human being and productive members of our society. I believe first and foremost it starts with a partnership between teachers, school counselors, and parents. Parents have the child much longer during a 24-hour period than teachers in school. And therefore, the partnership between both parents, counselors, and teachers is effective. As a D12 substitute for the last 4 years, I have firsthand knowledge of how effectively our counselors work with children and how closely they work with parents, and that should continue, and that should be stressed, and it should be very much appreciated by both teachers and parents and the counselors that all work for the same goal of raising productive citizens of this blessed country.
What does listening to your constituents and taking action accordingly look like for you? How do you plan to involve D12 residents in the decision-making processes for our district? You have 1 minute to answer the question, and we will start with Mr. Schultz.
Thank you. I mean, you know, the taxpayers, the community, you guys are the constituents. And I don't, I think it was Kara mentioned that there's annual surveys done. I'm new, and I've talked about to some parents and educators about those surveys. And I think there's a disconnect because sometimes the teachers aren't involved, sometimes the parents are involved. And so my approach would be to be a bridge builder for the administration, for parents, and for the teachers to make sure that we're all synchronized. Because sometimes, you know, this district is not that big, but I've been part of organizations where you have these stovepipes of excellence, and those stovepipes don't talk to each other. And so in this case, listening to constituents would be to make sure that we're synchronized and at least on the same sheet, and that you guys have input to these surveys that are already happening, but I don't think they're very connected or coordinated.
Mrs. Mihal?
I think transparency is at the heart of trust. Our community cares deeply about schools, and people deserve to understand how and why decisions are made. I appreciate that the district has taken steps to improve communication. Dr. Peek started the Cheyenne Mountain News updates that we all receive in the mail. They've improved the Cheyenne Mountain app, And I think we need to continue building on that. As a board member, I would prioritize clear communication, open dialogue, and accessibility. That means being available, listening to concerns, and making sure community voices are part of the conversation, not just after decisions are made, but before.
Ms. Blanter?
I totally agree that the trans... Ooh, I'm not even on the board anymore. I totally agree that we have to be responsible and we have to be accountable to people who elect us, to people who fund this district. And I, first of all, will work very strongly on encouraging everybody to attend the board meetings, because that's where a lot of decisions are made and that's where input is very much appreciated. I have been walking the precincts. I've been knocking on people's doors and talking to everybody. And I would like to continue being open and available to everybody who has an opinion, thought process, whether they have children in a district or not, because we are all in this together to raise a next generation of excellent citizens and excellent human beings.
Dr. Lehman?
Fortunately, this is something I have been able to do for most of my time in Cheyenne Mountain. Because of my roles as SAC chair at Gold Camp Elementary, at the junior high, and now on DAC, I think that one of the most important things is making connections. So many people in this room, many familiar faces, it's wonderful to see we all rely on one another to find out the real answers and to solve problems. So constituents are students. Students come to student spotlight at board meetings, which is a great connection point. We also get into the schools and visit students where they are. So parents, students, and community members, and I think coming to board meetings is also very helpful. But truly, I think my job on the board is a lot of what I've already been doing, which is I don't have to have all of the answers, but I do need to know where to find them. So I need to connect you with the people who have the answers. And luckily, I know most of them because I've been here for a while. So it's a great opportunity. I enjoy it. I enjoy problem solving. So that is one of the strengths I think I bring to the board.
How would you lead a response to concerns or issues that arise from sensitive and mature topics being discussed in books or other content that can be deemed controversial? You have 1 minute to answer this question, and we will start with Mrs. Mihal.
Absolutely. So it's interesting. I have kind of dove into this a little bit, just as interesting points being made and trying to figure out what the role of the board is in a situation like that. Well, I think it's our job to listen. I do know that there are a lot of the district's governing body, the board, is held responsible for obviously selecting materials, including library resources. But we serve as a policymaking entity, so it delegates the authority of making those selection of those materials to district professional staff. So they have to follow policy as well as, you know, any applicable state laws and regulations. But there's a policy that governs how we are able to take public concerns and complaints about this. There's actually a complaint form, and an outlined procedure. And I think our role as a board is to participate, listen, and represent the community and help guide families through these processes.
Ms. Blanter.
I believe it starts in a home. I believe the parents are the ultimate authority of what their children are learning or exposed to. And if we as a board make it absolutely transparent to any parent that wants to know what is in their curriculum, what is in a textbook, what is being presented at any given point, what are the outside speakers that are coming in, and provide that parent with the opportunity to voice their objection to their child being exposed to it or approval. The bottom line here, parents are the ultimate authority on what their children are learning, what their children are exposed to. I personally believe that libraries should have age-appropriate material. I believe that our minors are not mature enough to some of the material that potentially could make it to the school board. But that, again, is up to the individual parents to make that decision.
Dr. Lehman.
I appreciate parents raising concerns. Our process follows clear guidelines. Books are reviewed with input from educators and parents, not chosen by individuals. Our librarians consult appropriate professional resources such as the School Library Journal, Pikes Peak Library District Guidance, Tidal Wave, and the American Library Association Award List. Christy McWilliams manages this at the secondary level. The goal is to provide age-appropriate materials that support learning while respecting community values. So the procedures we have in place right now are working.
Mr. Schultz.
You know, I guess a point of clarification, and I've talked to the current school board members, four of the five, that remind me that, you know, the school is at the lowest level. And so a lot of these things are driven from the federal and the state level. And so at the school board level, you know, they're really looking at some policy of how to implement with a little bit of choices. And so I want to just bring that up first because, you know, some of this stuff is just, is going to be driven down from the state and the federal level. But as far as how I would lead, because the question was how I would lead a controversial topic. Well, first I would look at my own family values, right? I would look at how this values affect this controversial topic. And then I think I would go out and survey the parents that are affected because whether it's at a junior high level, I agree with everybody that's talked about age appropriate content. But this is where I could empower parents, right? Parents, you guys are the ones that know how to raise your kids the best. And so that involves transparency, educating you, and then taking your input for what the school board can actually make happen.
Thank you to the government and politics class for coming up with those wonderful questions. Now we will move to a few audience questions. What policy changes, if any, are you interested in making? You will have 1 minute to answer this question, and we will start with Mrs. Mihal.
I don't have any specific policies that I have read that I don't agree with or that I don't feel have worked really well up to this point. Obviously, we live in a district that's incredibly high achieving. I will say that one of the things besides mental health and wellness that is very important to me is school finance. You know, we're proud of the excellence that our schools have maintained, even though we receive among the lowest per pupil funding in the state. I believe in being thoughtful and transparent about how we spend money, making sure that it has to directly affect students, teachers, and programs that make a difference. It's also important that we plan for the future and advocate for fair state funding so we can maintain the excellence our community expects and every student in this district deserves.
Ms. Blanter?
We are a highest performing district in the state. However, if you look at the CMAS scores, our kids are only at 65% grade level for reading and at 60% at grade level for math. There's a lot of factors that go into that. Not all of them are fault of teachers or anything like that. There's structural issues with the testing. But what I think I would strongly urge is continued working and intervention at the lower levels, third, fourth, and fifth grade, because once we progress them into the junior high, it is really hard to catch up. And that would be one of the policies I address. I also would like to address about the funding. El Paso, we are the smallest district in El Paso County, yet we have the highest mill levy rate of all the districts. And it's from the state, it's from the county. And we do spend the most, higher than average per pupil in the state. So we're doing more with less, but that's nonetheless is something that I would, as a financial person, would like to delve in and understand.
Dr. Lehman?
So I think one of the things I bring to the table is advocacy. So in my physical therapy role, I'm an advocate, and I do a lot of work with legislature. So I think when policy, we're talking about policy and what we need to change, part of that is just making sure that we know what state advocacy looks like, we know what we need in order to help protect public education at the state legislative level. So no specific policy changes at this moment, but I think that following the state policy and making sure we're aware of what's happening in legislature is really a critical role for our board.
Mr. Schultz.
Thanks. So this is, you know, really what excites me is that, you know, there's a, we're going through the fourth industrial revolution. It's a tech revolution, and technology is changing everything. Doug McMillan, the Walmart CEO, said that every one of his jobs is going to change, and it's changing. And all of you know, either high school or college graduates that are having a hard time getting a job. And that's because they don't have the commensurate skills that are technology driven, that's data driven for these jobs of the future. It's not even the future, it's the job markets today, and it's just gonna get worse. And so this is where, you know, what I would be most excited about would be to have community engagement, community involvement, and partnership, public-private partnerships where we could go out and create innovation hubs. I toured St. Brain's Innovation Center when I first got here as part of one of my board duties. I was blown away. Kids are doing pitches on entrepreneurships. They're building drones. They're building a runway to land and take and do drones. And so I think we partner with industry and we bring a tech hub here. That's what I'm most excited about changing here.
What is the role of the Board of Education in students being satisfied with their school experience? Candidates will have 1 minute, starting with Ms. Blanter.
Board of Education is the governance of the organization. We are a $75 million corporation with 3,700 customers. Board must ensure that every one of those customers is satisfied, but board must ensure that the customers and their families also are fully apprised of what's going on in school, what's happening, and how the taxpayer funds are being spent on this process. We have to learn how to do more with less because the taxpayer is not a bottomless pit of money. And therefore, we have to be efficient. We have to understand where the best use of any funds. And the more we spend on the educational side, for example, our district spends about 59% of the entire budget directly on educational expenses. We should be able to raise that to slightly higher level to increase number of interventionists, to make sure that our scores go up and make sure we have no child left behind.
Dr. Lehman.
Can you repeat the question, please?
What is the role of the Board of Education in students being satisfied with their school experience?
So I think that a really exciting thing is happening right now. So we have portrait of a graduate. Maybe some of you received some information about that and filling out a survey. So what we want to find out is, are our constituents, our students, happy with their experience? Is that what we've produced? We've done so much with the data that we have, and our scores are outstanding in the state. So we want to make sure, though, that that satisfaction is there. So portrait of a graduate is going to help us see our students after they've left. So it's very exciting. It's a great project that we're working on, and I'm excited to see what the board will do with this, because I think we need to find out. Are they happy with it? What did they do after they left here? We don't have that information yet. So we've already started. It's exciting, and hopefully we'll help them more once we find out where are we meeting the marks, where are we missing for students once they leave here. We'll be able to backfill with the students that are already here and improve. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mr. Schultz.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think experience is important. And, you know, I look back at when I was in high school more than 20 years ago, and I wish I would have had input on my own curriculum because, you know, I don't think I left a satisfied customer. But we'd have to be careful because I think you ask some high school students and they're going to tell you that they want 4-day school weeks, right? You're going to ask other students and they're going to want to raise the level of AP classes. And so I think there's this happy medium where you can offer opportunities
to kids, because I don't think college is for everybody. So maybe offer them trades early on. Offer, you know, go out to the community and give them some tangible assets, some money to double or lose. I mean, these are hardcore lessons that they could walk away with.
Mrs. Mihal?
Sure. I mean, I think that it's part of our core values as a district is we believe that people come first. And by people, we're talking about students and staff, right? That's kind of why we're here. That's why we are the district that we are. And we've earned a you know, reputation for excellence, and it's something we should all be very, very proud of. But excellence comes at an expense of balance or well-being. And I think that I've heard from students and parents over the years about the pressures that can come with high expectations. And I think we can have both. We can have high standards and we can have a healthy, supportive environment. So our goal as a board should be to help students reach their potential while giving them the space to learn, make mistakes, and enjoy the process. True excellence comes not just from achievement, but from developing confident, resilient learners who feel valued and supported along the way. So listening to our students, they come first.
All right, this is our last open-ended question. Artificial intelligence is the future. What are your thoughts on how to prepare our students for the next industrial revolution? You have 1 minute to respond, and we will begin with Dr. Lehman.
I think that we have already done a good job of integrating a lot of technology into what we're doing in the classroom. I think a cautious approach is great with AI. They're going to need to use it. They're going to need to know how to manage it. We can't forget the foundation of education. So having a balance and having a lot of community input, and community means students, teachers, school board, and residents within our community, this is a really important topic. So people showing up for discussions, having forums, we need this. We have a lot of really brilliant people within our community, and we really do need everyone at the table in order to navigate this particular topic well for our students.
Mr. Schultz?
Thank you for whoever asked that question. I mean, AI is the future, and you know, we got to get on board this train. It is the fourth industrial revolution. I was talking to an English teacher at UCCS, and I said, "How are you incorporating AI in your classes?" Because, and she was a younger teacher, and she said, "You know, I'm the only one that is actually having kids write a paper using AI." And generative AI means that you would have a secondary question and a third question, because then AI is spitting out three different papers that's personalizing it for you. It's amazing. I have friends that went to MBA school with me that are marketers that can't land a job right now because AI has taken their job. And so knowing how to integrate AI into whatever you're going to do is the right way to go. However, there's also the other side, ethics of AI, right? Because robots are getting smarter. And guess what? They don't want to be turned off. And so this is why it's so important to ensure that we get our kids on board in this tech revolution, because it's not just about being the number one in the state. That's a great thing to tout, but our kids have to go out into the job market and be able to be competitive and get jobs. And thank you again.
Mrs. Mihal?
So I think the utilization of technology is integral to supporting educational curricula and substantially enriching the learning environment. And I think the district supports student use of AI tools that enhance the district's commitment to high quality learning. Obviously, it looks different at different stages, so it's going to look different in elementary school than it will at the high school. But specific and acceptable and unacceptable uses of AI tools are going to vary based on developments. And I think that we need to make sure that we're updated on what those policies are and follow guidance of district staff. I know it varies a great deal at the high school and what teachers will let you use and won't. So I think we just have to keep, you know, listening to the professionals and allowing that to help guide us in what that role is.
Ms. Blanter?
AI is a wonderful tool, but it's based on the knowledge that came before it, and it incorporates a variety of sources, some of them more reliable than others. As far as our educational system is concerned, we must continue to incorporate AI as a side tool, but fundamentals of ability to write from scratch, to understand the reading skills, to recognize AI written material versus somebody's original content, and most importantly, the children need to understand their own worth and contribution to what the AI will use in the future. Therefore, AI is a good tool, but it's only one tool, and we still have to stick to the fundamentals of ability to write original content, ability to produce original content. I've taught college, and I have seen teachers go back to the blue books and the pens because they cannot gauge the knowledge of the student because they can't tell the difference whether the paper was produced by AI or the student, and that is very critical.
We will now hold a lightning round of yes-no questions. We will go back and forth from left to right, then right to left, and so on. Candidates, we will not announce your name before each answer, so please go after the candidate next to you has answered their question. Candidates may only respond with yes or no. Again, we are starting with Mr. Schultz, and Dr. Lehman will start the second round.
On to the questions. Would you support increasing the funding for mental health services and support systems for students?
Yes.
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 Do you support book banning?
No.
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 No. It's not a fair question.
With Colorado laws stating sex ed is not mandatory to teach in schools, do you think sex ed should be taught at the high school level?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
D11 passed a board policy that banned cell phones during instructional time. Would you support a similar policy for D12 schools?
Yes.
Yes.
I hate yes and no questions. Yes.
Yes.
Do you support student expression of gender and sexual identity in schools?
Age appropriate.
Yes or no?
I mean, yes.
So yes or no?
I'm not going to say yes or no to that question.
I agree. It's not a yes no question.
No.
Yes.
Do you believe our district should have buses?
I'm old enough to remember the fight.
No. Given all the factors, no.
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 Only short ones.
Would you support increasing funding for arts, music, and extracurricular programs in school?
Sorry, James, can you say that a little louder?
Would you support increasing funding for arts, music, and extracurricular programs in school?
Yes.
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 Do you support block days?
Yes.
Sort of.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the end of our audience-driven questions. We will now ask each candidate to finish with their closing statement. We will go in reverse order from the opening statements, and each candidate will get 1 minute. So we are beginning with Dr. Lehman.
So in conclusion, I need to express my extraordinary gratitude to everyone here and at home who has shown up for this discussion. And I hope you will cast your vote in this important election. School boards matter. Through this process, I've been truly overwhelmed by the community support I've received. So thank you to my husband, my children, Dr. Walt Cooper, and thank you to my friends and neighbors who have gone above and beyond to help me take on this challenge. Through this process, I've just witnessed the magic of the Cheyenne Mountain community. Thank you for your words of encouragement and support in so many ways. If elected, I will focus on the mission of inspiring passion through learning, thus creating a world where every student has the inspiration and knowledge to achieve personal success. In this community, we believe that people come first and that educational excellence is paramount. We believe that tradition fuels innovation and that safety is foundational. I'm asking for your vote on November 4th. Thank you again to our hosts, and thank you all for joining us this evening.
Ms. Blanter.
Thank you for the opportunity to be heard, and thank you for League of Women Voters for hosting this. I have been a substitute teacher in this district for the last 4 years. I know this district as I lived here for over 20. I know our teachers, and I also know our parents who have their aspirations for children, as I was one once with a 2009 high school graduate. Professionally, I bring extensive background in finance and corporate board service. I know the responsibility of governance. That experience matters because our board must not only set the vision, but also prudently manage over $75 million of taxpayer funds with transparency and accountability. I'm running on the CLEAR platform. Focus on the fundamentals of reading, writing, math, and sciences. Respect and empower parents as partners, and ensure safe, supportive schools where every child can thrive. I believe in our children, I believe in our families, and I most importantly believe in the promise of America. I humbly ask for your trust, support, and your vote. Thank you, and God bless.
Mrs. Mihal.
I'd also like to thank everyone for being here this evening. Tonight is a reflection of the thoughtfulness and intention our voters continue to demonstrate because school boards truly do matter. We've been fortunate to have outstanding board leadership that works collaboratively and prioritizes students, staff, and excellence in our schools. I feel a deep sense of responsibility to our community and am ready to bring my leadership and years of district involvement to the board. Thank you.
Thank you guys again for being here, the students for caring about this. You know, I'm a very blessed man. I have a wonderful wife, I have beautiful children, and mostly I've had amazing opportunities, and now I'm at the point in my career where I can give back, where I can serve. I have the time. I think many of you guys would probably be doing this, but you're probably still dual income families. And so this call to action for me to serve is in my DNA, and I promise you that I'm going to do my very best. But I also want to thank everybody up here because this has been a huge lesson in democracy for me to take my family and to put us in a public light. It hasn't been fun at times, and it's not easy, but I'm doing it because it's important. I'm doing it because the future is our children. And last but not least, I just want to say that as our nation gets pulled apart at the seams because we're so polarized, please, in this election and every election, look for the people that are going to be bridge builders. Look at the people that are going to find common ground. Thank you guys again, and God bless.
Can we get a round of applause for your D12 candidates? That wraps up our 2025 Candidate Forum for District 12. Thank you to the Cheyenne Mountain High School U.S. Government and Politics class for all you did to make tonight a success. Round of applause for them real quick. Thank you again to the candidates for being in the hot seat, and thank you D12 voters for joining us this evening. A recording is available on our YouTube channel on the Live tab. That's the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak Region channel. And will be available on our Making Democracy Work podcast in the next few days. Ballots have been mailed, and be sure to return your ballot by 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 4th. 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 4th. We would like to ask the candidates, students, and league members to stay up here for a picture. Thank you all for being active and engaged voters.